the Lord for the extra day or two off from work because of the holidays. And got to relax a little bit around the house. And I read my Sunday school lesson like two or three days before Sunday got here, and I just kind of glanced at this before I came to church this morning. And kind of fell right along with the message today. It seemed to be the theme of the Lord's wanting us to minister for Him and just trust Him and, you know, be used by Him. And I thank the Lord for that song Sarah sang, the last one there. All of them were good. I like those old songs, but that one, Feel My Way Every Day With Love. And this chapter I'm reading here talks about love a lot. The Lord is commanding us to love one another and talks about His love for us and things. And truly, He did love us all the way back. You know, He loved the world so much that He came and died in our place and paid for our sins that we would have had to pay if He had not done it for us. And I'm thankful for His love for us. And it's an everlasting love, one that doesn't grow weak from time to time, but it's continually there. And He had a love for the Father. He went and did His will. He didn't do His own. He came to fulfill a job, a mission to set us free from the works of the devil, but He also come to please the Father. And I'm going to be reading out of John 15 and starting verse 16, if you want to follow with me. It says, henceforth, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong verse already. I'm back down to 16, chapter 15, verse 16 of John. It says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. Because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the words that I send to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all of these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not came and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sins. He that hateth me, hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they did not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled which was written in the law, they hated me without a cause. And I don't know what the Lord would have done to anyone that caused them to hate him. He was always showing forth love and compassion and mercy. And there's not a thing that I can think of where he would give anyone a reason to be angry with him. But let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Let's all look together to him. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the privilege to share your word tonight, Lord. I just pray, God, for your anointing and your help, Lord. Just direct my words, Lord, and touch hearts. And pray, God, that your word would enter into us, Lord, and we would go out and perform it and do it, Lord, to please you. Bring forth fruit, Lord, for your name's sake, Lord. And we thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. Verse 16 says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. And that's one of the main things the Lord expects of us, is to bear fruit. And we can read in this chapter, backing up to verse 1, says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except ye abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, my words abideth in you, and ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And so he's expecting us to bear fruit. And the ones that don't, he says, they will be cast out. They'll be burned, just like a branch that is withered and is cut off and cast away. And when we come to his kingdom, he calls us. He's chosen us and ordained us, he says in his word. He picked us. We didn't pick him. He came along and asked us to be in his kingdom. And it's a great privilege and an honor to serve the Lord and be a part of his family. But that privilege can be taken away if we don't continue with him. We don't stay in his love and have that fellowship with him. It's not just because we surrendered our heart to him and called on him to be our Lord and Savior, which he's glad to do, and he quickly answers that prayer. That's one he desires that we all pray and ask for his help. We all need it. It's not a single one of us that hasn't sinned. We've all fallen short of the Lord's expectation. But once we become in his kingdom, we got to stay in that fellowship with him. We can't. It's not once in, always in. We can lose out with him, just as it tells us here. You know, that branch that doesn't bear fruit will be cast out and burned. So it's important that we listen to what the Lord is telling us. And it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. When we have that fellowship, that relationship with him, he answers our prayers. And he says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. A disciple is a follower, or one that learns. And we've got a lot to learn about serving the Lord. You know, we start out, we make a lot of mistakes, and there's a lot we learn by trial and error, you know, getting out and making mistakes, and hopefully we won't make them over and over. We learn to not do what we did wrong. But he says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. And when he kept the Father's will, he came here and he did everything the Father sent him to do. There was a joy in his heart, and it helped him to endure what he had to face. And that same joy can be in our heart when we obey the Lord and we have that fellowship with him and we continue on with him. Whatever we face, that joy is there to strengthen us and help us, and he keeps us going. And it says in verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And so as long as we're in that fellowship with him and we're keeping his commandments, we can call him our friend. And I've had friends in the past that really weren't friends. The devil sends people along your path too. And they pretend to be your friend, and some of them use you. Some of them are leading you into trouble. You got to be careful what friends you have. You're judged by the friends you keep, the company you keep, the places you go, and things you do. And I remember Pastor testifying when he first got saved. You know, a lot of his old friends didn't hang around very long, so he had to find some new friends. And that's a good thing. Because those old friends, they'll drag you right back down. And I've had kids in the detention center come along, and they'd got in trouble. They was running with the wrong crowd and got caught up in an incident and got them there. But when they get back out, they go back around the same crowd, and ain't very long, there they are back. And I've seen some of them several times, you know. And I've told them, you know, one of the things you got to do is quit running with the ones that get you in trouble. You know, it's not going to help you a bit. And it's just they have habits and things they do that's not going to help you. It's going to drag you down. But we can look at Jesus as our friend, and he's a friend that we couldn't ask for a better friend. He's a friend when no one else is around. When we hurt, we have problems, we can go to him and tell him all about it. He's not going to go tell everyone else about it. He's not going to try to drag you down, but he's going to help you if you'll just call out on him with a pure heart and ask for his help. He's there for us. Doesn't matter what time of day or where we're at. And Colossians 3 and 1. Kind of got away from my notes. I had to find my place here. But it says, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So he is our life. I like the way it's worded there. Christ, who is our life. When we die out to yourself, it talks on down, verse 5 on down, says, mortify therefore your members which are upon earth. We got to get rid of those old things that aren't pleasing to God. He said, which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And it talks about some of the things in verse 8. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filth, communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And we put on that new man. We're not the same person we were before. God's made a new creation out of us, and those old things are passed away, he tells us. And so, like I said, you get a fresh start, and you come along, and you've learned a few things from mistakes, and you've called on the Lord. He's helped you, and you got to forget the past, in a sense, not to not forget your mistakes. You want to learn from them, but you want to not let them drag you down. The devil beat you over the head with them either. You got to just forget and go on and press on towards that mark and keep gaining ground in the Lord and going forward with him. In Colossians 2 and 6, it says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And we've heard some thanksgiving tonight, people thanking the Lord for things he's done in their life, and that's good. We should have that continually going on in our hearts. And I was just thinking, as Brother Fields was testifying about the three wheeler falling, tumbling over him, our son, we were down his house, me and Cindy, one day, and he was out mowing the grass, and he's going up a pond dike, and he kind of stalled a little bit, and he popped the clutch, and here that thing come over, and the blade running, and here he is kicking it off away from him. Thank the Lord, you know, it didn't get on top of him. Could have been a very bad situation, but the Lord kept his hand on him. And also I was thinking this, the testimony of the friend coming up behind you and touching you, you know, the voice you heard. And when I was a teenager, I had a friend I worked with in Sepulpa. It's one of the first weld shops I worked in. It was Fabsco. And I was just a helper at that time. And one of the guys I went to church with worked there. His name was Bryce Martin. And that's where I got Bryce's name. I liked the name, and he was a good guy. And I thought, well, I'm going to name my son after this guy. You know, he's never got angry, never acted out or anything at work. He'd go to the truck and pray at lunchtime, and he's just a good guy. But he was testifying. I went to the Pentecostal Holiness Church there in Mounds back when I was a teenager, before I got married, and he was there and his family. But he was testifying how He was on the battlefield. He was in a foxhole. And he heard a voice call out his name, Bryce. He turned around just in time. One of the enemies was about to take his life. And he responded and protected himself. But, you know, just that voice. And you know it couldn't have been the enemy. He probably didn't even speak English. But hear that voice, you know, right there, just out of nowhere, and got his attention. And so you can't tell me the Lord doesn't love us. He doesn't protect us. You know, he watches over us. Many times, probably, we don't have a clue what's going on around us, how he's protected us, but he is there day to day for us. And Ephesians 1 and 3, said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted into the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And truly, we don't deserve his mercy and his kindness he showed us. That's what grace is, unmerited favor. But he has shown it to us repeatedly. It says in verse 4, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. This wasn't a plan just got cooked up overnight, and maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. It's one God put a lot of thought into, and it was way before we even came along, before we even were born. God knew ahead of time, you know, what we were going to be facing and what we needed, and he was going to be there right on time, and he's going to be with us day to day. It says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And that's what he wants of us children, to be blameless and holy, just like he is holy. And he says he's predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. We are adopted into his family, become his children. And, you know, what a great honor. What better family could you be adopted into than that? You know, we think, man, if only some rich guy come along, you know, and I want to be his child, you know, and he's going to take care of me. Well, we couldn't ask for a better one than what we've got, you know, and he doesn't spoil us. He gives us what we need, but yet he treats us like we need to be treated. And in Mark 16 and 15, talks a little bit about the Great Commission. When we as Christians, part of our Sunday school lesson, I was just noticing this morning, it says, called of God, let me find my place here. The central truth in our Sunday school lesson, a personal testimony, and it talks about every Christian has been called to service. And it talked about Paul, how he was called. And we know the story. It's a well-known story, how he was on the road to Damascus. And he'd been persecuting Christians and killing them, you know, putting them in prison and things. And then all of a sudden, Saul, his name was changed later to Paul, but he was Saul at that time. But he was blinded by that bright light, and he had that testimony of the Lord, how he would... had met him there, and immediately he responded, as Brother Jason brought it out this morning. There wasn't any qualms and bickering about it all. You know, what do you want me to do? Is what his first response was. He knew it was the Lord, and he was ready to commit to the Lord. And if we had all had that same attitude and just jump in there, okay, Lord, whatever you want, I'm ready. And it would go much smoother for all of us, I do believe. But many times we are kind of figuring it all out. I don't know if I can do that. But I know back when I was younger, I was very bashful and high school and in early adulthood, I was in Assembly of God Church, and they had elections each year about what position, who God, and someone had nominated me for Sunday school superintendent. And you imagine someone getting out front and talking to everybody, you know, and you're not used to that. And that was quite a hurdle for me. You know, that first Sunday, I got voted in. I thought, well, that's just a joke, you know, someone just nominated my name. But just about everybody voted for me. I said, oh, no, what am I going to do? And that first Sunday, you know, that was the biggest obstacle I'd ever come across. You know, am I going to run the other direction like Jonah, or am I going to get up there and just face the music, you know, and kind of work my way into it? But I went ahead and did what I could, you know, and it wasn't really that hard a job. It's just the fact of getting up in front of everybody and talking, you know. I just think I couldn't do that, you know. But the Lord's help, I got there, and he's worked on me a little here and there on the way, and thinking one day, you know, I'm up here preaching, and I would have told you, you're crazy. You know, if you'd told me that years ago, I'd been up in front of everybody talking. But I know I'm not the greatest preacher, but I know it's not a competition, but yet I try to do what I can for the Lord. But anyway, he's called us all to position. We're not all going to be preachers. We're not all going to be Sunday school teachers. But God has a position or something for each and every one of us to do. And we support our missionaries. We can't all go, but we can put the money in, you know, and support them and pray for them. And it's just as important as being there themselves. And the Lord uses us all to work together. In Mark 16, verse 15, it says, "And he said to them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And so that was the great commission. The Lord sent his disciples out, and go ye into all the world. And yet the call is still going for each of us to go. You know, we got our part to do. We can talk to our neighbors or our coworkers, or, you know, just whoever we bump into at the gas station or the restaurant or whatever, you know, wherever we're at, go and tell them about Jesus. And I remember Jason talking about this morning, you know, some people, when they win you to the Lord, they may not ever know that you came to the Lord. It may be years down the road, you know, when that seed was produced, watered, and it brings forth fruit. And, you know, the guy that came along and witnessed to me when I was just a boy in the front yard out pulling weeds in the front yard with my brother, my mom, and my dad worked nights most of the time we were growing up. But this man came around inviting us to church, and I responded and went, and eventually gave my heart to the Lord. And I'm sure he doesn't have a clue what all's happened since then, you know. But that one person he talked to, you know, and look how much the Lord has used someone else because of his faithfulness and his obedience. And the same can be the case for each of us. You know, we don't always know how we're affecting other people. And I've seen a little bit of fruit over the years, you know, different ones, accepting the Lord at Bible study. And at the Veterans Center, a couple of them accepting the Lord and things. But as for the most part, you kind of wonder sometimes, you know, if you're doing any good. But you know you are. As the Word says, His Word's not going out void. That's going to accomplish what the Lord has sent it out to do. But sometimes we don't ever see what all's taking place till later when we get on the other side. You know, we may have be brought up before us. You know, you won this person to the Lord, and you may not even known it. You know, something you said, something you did, a testimony to them. In Matthew 28:19, this, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And that is a comforting thought. It says, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And you know, sending on a mission, it's kind of scary when you're out there by yourself. But when you know your friend's with you, you got someone backing you there and along with you and the same interest in helping you, it makes it a lot easier. But the Lord himself says he'll be with us. And it says, and the other place in Mark, it was talking about go and preach. Here it's saying go and teach. So both are just as important as the other. You know, we need the Sunday school, the lesson, you know, it teaches and it brings forth thoughts the Lord wants us to know and to learn. But also we need the preaching also. 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, the base things of the world. The things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him ye are in Christ Jesus, who is of God, is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And so he's chosen the base things, the despised, and it says the weak, the foolish things. So I can see that when he called me. You know, I don't think real high of myself in the sense of who I am, what I can do for him. Just like Matthew was testifying, you know, he says, why? What does the Lord see in me? But the Lord does see things in us that we don't see. And but he can take that small thing and he can do great works with it. And many of the things we can look back on, the little shepherd boy that went out and slayed the giant. And we can look at little Moses put in the basket floating down the river. He goes out and delivers a nation. You know, and the poor little widow woman out there trying to struggle to survive herself, and the Lord gave her the job of sustaining his prophet. And the raven, you know, these things that aren't really out there and on the billboard and bright lights and things, they're just common small things, but yet God can use them and turn things around. And the little boy with the fish and the bread, how the Lord fed thousands with it. But God knows what he's doing. And I'm thankful that he's in charge. And if we'll just learn to follow and listen, and it'll be for our benefit as for his good too. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And so we are his chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and that we should show forth the praises of him. And he says, looking for something here. Anyway, he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the life that we were living, when he came along and rescued us and redeemed us, you know, it was on the path of hell, just like Brother Timmy was saying. We've all been on that same path. And just a matter of waking up and realizing, you know, after the Lord revealed it to us, you know, we need to change our course. We are in big trouble if we continue on. And truly, God is merciful. Excuse me. James 2 and 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? And I'm thankful that we don't have to buy our way into the kingdom of God. Many of us would be in big trouble. You know, what he's done for us would be priceless, and we wouldn't be able to afford it. But he says God has chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom. And he went out when his son first came, born in Bethlehem there, and the angels are out there, and they were proclaiming it to the common folks, the shepherds and the poor people out there. And got one more scripture I want to share. In Revelation 17:14, it talks about in the future. It says, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So there's going to be some that come and fight with the Lord in that battle of Armageddon. And it's going to be fought in the Valley of Megiddo, in the mountains there in the north central Palestine. And it's in the future, but I don't think it's very far in the future the way things are looking. It's getting closer by the day. And, all we got to do is just stay on track and stay faithful to the Lord and keep that relationship going with him, as he talked about, staying hooked into that vine, those branches, and bearing fruit, and just pressing on and doing what he asked us to do. And we were on our way home, just a matter of obeying and trusting him. And he told us this morning, it's perilous times. It's also times when many are falling away. We don't want to be in that number. We want to stay faithful to him. And we don't have to fall away from him unless we just choose to. It's just a matter of how much we appreciate what he has already done for us. And if we do really love him, we will keep his commandments, and we will please him, and we are well on our way home. And it'll be a time of celebration before we know it. It's going to be over. And this old time here is just like a vapor compared to eternity. And that bright future we got coming our way, I can't hardly wait to get there. We still got a little work to do before we get home, but it's not going to be long the way things are looking. I'll turn it back to you, Pastor.